Welcome to the Madam Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Giselle Arney. I'm a sports medicine physician with a passion for teaching and a mission to support other women with careers in this space. On this show, you'll hear the stories from amazing women in their field of sport and athletics. They'll share their journeys, triumphs, and hardships in order to help and inspire you in your own career and life. Thanks for joining us. Let's do this. Hello, and welcome back to another special episode of the Madam Athlete Podcast. On the second Tuesday of the month, I take a deep dive into a career-related topic. And on today's episode, I'm talking all about quitting. Yeah, quitting. So let's just get right into it, shall we? Okay, are you sitting here going, wait, what? Quitting? Giselle, we just had New Year's. It's just January. Like, we're January 10th today, if you're listening when this episode comes out. I just set a New Year's resolution. I have been into it for less than 2 weeks, and you want to talk to me about quitting? Like, what is going on? Yes, I want to talk about quitting. I have been thinking about this a lot lately. It's such a fascinating thing to me, and I want to get into it, even though it's New Year's, even though we just had resolutions, because here's the deal. A lot of us, right? In medicine, in athletics, we are programmed to think, never quit. That quitting is horrible. The quitting is bad. The quitting is the same as being lazy and a horrible human being and bad character, right? Like, quitting is awful. We're taught never give up, always persevere, right? And some of this is like, yeah, you know, don't stop just because it got hard. If it's still worth it, if it still matters. But I do think the teeniest, tiniest bit, the world is starting to realize that maybe sometimes quitting is good, resting is good, taking that break is good. Don't play through your concussion, right? Don't continue to work at that toxic workplace if you have the ability to leave. Medicine has programmed us, really, it's just gaslit us into putting all of our own needs aside. Doing everything for the patient, for the hospital, for the service, for whatever. And that it's not even a little bit okay to think about your own needs first, right? So I want to talk about quitting because I think it's really, really important. And I think we have been taught that it's horrible. There's a stigma around quitting, right? Having grit and persevering, those are considered strong character building positive traits, right? And quitting is considered bad. And so I listened recently to an episode of the Glennon Doyle, Abby Wambach, and Glennon Doyle's sisters podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, and they were talking about quitting. And it was really interesting to hear their very different perspectives. Obviously, Abby, as a professional, former professional soccer player, quitting was just not a word in her vocabulary. And so it's just really interesting to think about these, the different ways this comes about. And sometimes you just got to quit, right? Quitting, we have some more data. People are actually starting to look into this. And we're finding that it can be a really good thing. And that we can actually make more progress faster by quitting things that aren't working for us than trying to slog through crap and misery and keep pushing after the same thing the same way all the time. But that actually quit early, quit fast, quit quickly. That sounds difficult to say. But just get out of it. If it's not working, recognizing it, getting out of it, moving on to the next thing, and doing that quickly is actually going to get you more progress, closer to your goals, and just doing better. And so, you know, I've been in these situations where leaving a toxic workplace is not easy, right? Because you want to take care of your patients, because you want to work with your coworkers, because you're trying to do everything right, because you're trying to make people like you, because you've dedicated all these years of training, all these years of sacrifice, all this work, and quitting is just like, oh God, so horrible. But there's times, especially when it's like toxic workplace. I talked in episode 40 with Diana Cutaia about how to leave a toxic workplace and what do you do if you're in that toxic workplace situation. And there's times where quitting is the only option. But there's other times where quitting is just the quick, easy, not easy, I don't know. It's hard, right? It's hard to quit, but it is the quick, fast move for progress. To go, oh, this is not the right path I am meant to be on. Let me quick backtrack. Let me find a new path. Let me go forward. So in this episode that I was listening to of the We Can Do Hard Things podcast, they were talking, I don't remember if they were talking to or just talking about, Annie Duke is a former professional poker player who also had a National Science Foundation fellowship to study cognitive psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. So she had this book that came out recently called Quit. And it's fascinating, by the way. But one of the fun things they were talking about, one of the fun facts that she has in there is that professional poker players play less than 25% of their hands, whereas amateurs play greater than 50% of the cards that they're dealt, of the hands that they're dealt. And what's fascinating is that the elite players, the really great professional players, they're actually really good at quitting. That's part of what makes them so good, is that they go, nope, not this hand, fold, move right along. They're not messing around. Whereas amateurs try to hold on to their hands or try to go, oh, I can, let's see what I can eke out of this. Let me keep trying. And they don't win as much and they're not as good. And so I think there's a lot that we can learn from this in our life, in our careers, in figuring out, is this working for me? Yes or no? There's a couple things that get in our way of quitting, besides just the social construct of quitting being so terrible, that stigma. One is the sunk cost fallacy. So you're like, okay, I've been in medicine for 100 years. Not really. That's an exaggeration. But you went to med school. You went to residency. You did a fellowship. You've been out in practice for a decade. You have put so much time and effort and money into the work you're doing. I mean, that's if you're a sports medicine physician. If you're an athletic trainer, you went to school. You paid more money than you're making as an athletic trainer, probably because you're not paid nearly what you should be paid. And you've put all this time and effort, and the athletic trainers I know, I mean, they're working 16-hour days. You got to get there before morning practice. You're there for treatments in the evenings. It's like a 24/7 job, right? So you've put all of this time and effort. Maybe you've sacrificed your hobbies, relationships, your other, just your life, your time, other things that you enjoy, your health. Maybe you've been sacrificing your health. And so the idea of quitting feels like all of that won't be worth it. I've already paid all this time, money, life, health, wealth into this. I can't quit now. And that is a sunk cost fallacy, because that money is spent. It is over. It is gone. You don't currently have it. You don't have it right now. So it doesn't matter, right? That health, that's gone. That relationship, it's gone. You're past it. Those things you sacrificed, the 10 years of education and training, they're gone. You're at now. You're at time point now, and you have the resources you currently have in your pocket. You have the time that you currently have today, and that's all you have. And that's all you're guaranteed. So when you make your decisions based off of the past, it can hold you back. I can say, oh God, it's too scary to quit my job. It's too scary to quit my line of work. Maybe it's not even just this one workplace. Maybe it's just, yeah, I don't want to be an athletic trainer anymore. And it feels terrible and it feels scary and it feels awful. But maybe you know that it's the right thing to do because it's not serving you. It's not in alignment with your values. Your life has changed. What's important to you has changed. What matters changed. Or the place that you're at is a toxic place. It's not a friendly place. Or you had ideas about what it would be like when you got started on this journey, and now you realize that's just not quite how it measures up. But if you're basing your decision on the past and your past decisions and the money you've put into it and the time you've put into it instead of how you are feeling now and what will this look like going forward for you, then you're falling into that sunk cost fallacy. And another one, which is kind of similar, is called escalation of commitment or commitment bias. And this is sort of because I said that I would do this, I have to keep going because I have to be consistent within myself. And this is where you see people who've made bad decisions dig their heels in, and then they start to defend it, right? And so you see your boss has made a terrible decision, but then starts to explain why that was actually the right decision and why they had to make that decision and why, you know, actually it's probably better because of this other thing, even though you're all sitting there going like, what? That's crap. That's absolute crap. That's the escalation of commitment. And it's not just your boss that does that. You do that too, right? If you have 128 podcast episodes, and you've been doing it every week for over 2 years, it's really hard to say, you know what? Think I'm done. Had a good run. When you went to first year of school, second year of school, third year of school, it's hard to be like, you know what? This schooling isn't for me. I'd actually like to open up a mechanic shop. I'm making up things. I have no idea. When you started out with a degree as pre-med, but then you found that you really liked your English classes and your art classes, and you were really fascinated by economics and your math, but you're like, "What? But I'm on the pre-med track. I better keep taking all those courses." And you don't allow yourself to change. You're falling into that commitment bias, that escalation of commitment. I said I would. I need to keep going. This is also a sales tactic, just so you know. If you get people to say a little yes to a small thing, they're much more likely to say yes to a bigger ask, more expensive ask later. So be aware of what you say yes to, right? So these things are part of what makes it difficult for us to quit, to be confident in quitting, to change course when we really, really would be better off changing course. So what can you do about it? Okay, here's a few things. One is deciding in advance, what are your parameters for quitting? So you're at a job you don't love, you haven't been having fun, or you realize you don't like that work anymore, or you have been miserable and it's just really hard. You've got that sunk cost fallacy. You put all this time, you put all this effort, you moved here, right? Like there's a lot that makes us go, oh God, I don't want to quit, like, right? And so deciding in advance, what are your parameters for quitting? What would make you quit? And if you didn't decide in advance, you can decide right now. Looking at whatever your situation is neutrally from an outside observer place and say, what are the things that make it so that I should quit? What are the things that make it that I should try something different, that I should try a new tactic, that I should just keep going along the path that I'm currently going along? Okay, so maybe your situation is, I'm totally making things up. Maybe you have been playing professional soccer. Again, making things up. You've been playing professional soccer and you have realized that you have not been to your like friends and family's birthday parties in the last 4 years, because when games are on and practice is on, you don't get to leave. You don't get to just take a day off and go enjoy time with your family. Maybe you've realized that you've actually lost touch with a lot of friends. Maybe you have realized that you are not having as good of a time as you used to have in your sport. Maybe you've had an injury or two. Maybe you're not as healthy as you used to be. Maybe you've had a couple concussions, right? Like, okay, so things are not the most pleasant, but you're also sitting here going, oh God, you know, I've been playing soccer since I was a little girl. I like, you know, how many people even have the opportunity to be a professional women's soccer player? I need to represent for other people. I put all this time into it. I spent all my time training. I already sacrificed so much. If I quit now, then I'm just going to be a loser and this is going to be terrible. Decide what makes it worth quitting and what makes it worth sticking around. These are your parameters. So those parameters might be that the number of ACLs you have, if I have one more ACL, I'm done. I'm out. ACL tear for people not in the know, right? Or like what life factors matter to you? If you're like, if I have to miss one more wedding of my college besties, I'm done. That's not the life that I want to live. And you can decide, and you can think, you don't have to decide in 1 second. You don't have to decide immediately, but you can start to set parameters to say, is it worth quitting or not worth quitting? Because sometimes you just like, when you're in it, it's hard, but it's always hard, right? So if you can set it in advance, if you start a new job and you go, hey, here's what I'm hoping to get out of this job. I want to have time for my friends and family. I want to learn more. I want to get a leadership position. I want to have a team that I can cover. And these are the things that I want. And here is a timeline that is reasonable for me to get this leadership position. Here's this timeline that's reasonable for me to get this team coverage. And if I don't get those within that first year, and I can have a conversation to say, hey, what's going to get me here? Am I on track? And if they're like, oh, yeah, you know, sometimes they're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, just it'll just you need a little more time. And then all of a sudden a year goes by and you're like, wait, nothing has changed. You set those parameters ahead of time. You figured out what a timeline would look like that would be like acceptable and appropriate to you. And then when you get there, you go, hey, I came here hoping to do this. It hasn't worked out. I'm looking elsewhere. I got plans. I got goals. I got a life. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Right? Set those parameters ahead of time. That's one thing. Two is checking in on your values. Literally stopping and going, what matters to me? Checking on your values, checking in on your life, your circumstances. Maybe things have changed. Maybe that job was just fine when you weren't married with two kids and then had a surprise third kid. Right? Like, and now maybe that extra call, that extra shift, those extra hours, they're not worth it anymore because your life has changed and that's completely fine and okay. Right? Maybe you got into things thinking that you had one value and now it's 10 years later. You're a different human being. You're the same person, but you have more experiences, more life behind you, and your values and what matters to you has shifted. So take a minute to check in with yourself about all of that. I have a free values guide that can help you do a little bit of that introspective work. If you go to madamathlete.com/values, you can download a copy and it helps you just articulate your values. And it's where they are today. And it acknowledges they change and you can re-download it and redo it as many times as you feel like, but it just gives you a chance to kind of check in with yourself and what matters to you as you're looking at, is there something I need to be considering quitting? I'm not too happy here. It's not really working out. I've been kind of miserable, but like, do I quit? Stop in and check in with your values. Is what you're up to in alignment with your values? Is how the way it's making you feel in alignment with your values? And the last one is trying to cultivate a growth mindset. I've talked about this plenty of times. This is so important. But when you have a growth mindset, then quitting isn't abject failure and you're a loser. Quitting is, I tried this path. It did not work out. I am choosing to learn from that experience in deciding what my next path will be. And it takes a lot of that shame right off, right away. Because quitting is just part of the process. Failure is just part of life. But when quitting can just be, hey, I tried this, I gave this an effort, I thought this might be the thing, and maybe it was for a while, but now my life has changed, my values have changed, my circumstances have changed, the job has changed, the people have changed, whatever. And I'm realizing this isn't for me, and so I'm going to actively choose to quit and do something else. And it can just be like a relief. It can be you taking control and ownership of your life and your career and making moves, right? It can be a good thing. Okay, so that was a lot about quitting. I could talk about quitting for the next 3 hours, but I don't want to do that to you. And to wrap this back up to New Year's, right? Again, we're talking quitting and we have just gotten through some New Year's resolutions time, if you partake in that. Not everybody does, and that's completely fine. In the past, I have loved resolutions, and these last 2 years, I have not been very good about having concrete resolutions. And I'm just choosing not to feel bad about it because my values have changed, my life has changed. And but here's the thing: for New Year's resolutions, 80% of people will quit by February. 80% of people who make a New Year's resolution quit by February 1st. And most people give up on their resolutions by January 19th. There was some study that surveyed just a ridiculous amount of people. And most people give up in less than 3 weeks on January 19th. And you know what? Maybe that's just fine. Maybe that wasn't what you needed. Maybe that resolution just wasn't working for you. Maybe that was a resolution you made for your ego because you thought it looked good, but it's not actually in alignment with who you are and your values and what mattered to you. Maybe you weren't committed enough because your why wasn't strong enough. And that's okay. Maybe there's something you need to tweak and get rid of so that you can do better, right? So quitting thoughtfully, quitting purposefully, that's also different than like quitting lazily? Is that a thing? I'm trying to not attach shame words to quitting here. It's very difficult to do. It's so ingrained, right? But the active, thoughtful process of quitting can just be so relieving and so energizing because you're choosing to take care of yourself and you're doing it on purpose. And that's amazing. So I had a resolution, I want to say 3 years ago. I usually make a bunch every year. Like I said, not these last 2 years, but before that. So it must have been older than that. So I had a resolution, and sometimes they're fun and silly, to learn how to French braid my hair because I don't know how to do it. Because I put my hair in a ponytail approximately every single day, and it stays in a ponytail approximately all day long until shower bedtime. And so I was like, you know what? I would love to learn how to French braid my hair. And I even set myself a SMART goal, you guys, like the way that you're supposed to set a goal that makes you more likely to achieve it. It was specific, it was measurable, it was actionable. And I was like, okay, every Sunday, I am going to watch at least one YouTube video teaching me how to French braid my hair, and I practice for at least 30 minutes every Sunday. Once a week, I will learn how to French braid my hair, and eventually, I'll figure it out. I'll get better. I know it'll be good. But like, I set my specific goals. It was measurable. It was achievable. I had it time bound. I said, like, when I'm doing this, how long I'm doing this. And 2 weeks into it, I said, nope. No, I do not care about French braiding my hair. I do not care that I don't know how to do that. I do not care that my hair will not be French braided by me in my lifetime. I could change my mind in the future. I will always hold that option open for myself. But I literally, after 2 weeks, was like, God, no, I don't care. This is not worth the time out of my life to try to figure this out. And it was wonderful. And it was so freeing, right? And so it's like sometimes you're quitting really stupid things that you've decided you need to do for no good reason, or just because you thought it'd be fun to try. But actively choosing to say, nope, this is not worth it. This is not worth my life, not worth my time. Moving right along. No regrets. Don't feel bad. It was so wonderful. So maybe for you, as we're going through this New Year's transition, if you're trying to struggle to hold on to some resolutions, or you've already given up on some, or you just never made some because you think they're stupid, whatever it is, maybe look around at what isn't serving you right now in your life or in your work. What have you been pushing up against over and over and over? And decide your quitting parameters. Realize, actively remind yourself that the time you've put in, the money you've put in, all of that is in the past. It is not recoverable. We cannot go back and fix the past. We cannot. We only have this moment and moving forward. Right? And say, what is not working for me? What is not serving me? What have I been pushing up against? Decide your quitting parameters. What parameters tell me that it's time to go? What things tell me this is not serving me? Keep an eye out for them. Maybe set yourself a time limit, whatever. Maybe you just already know. Maybe you just already know. And try giving it a whirl. Try checking in with your values, choosing a growth mindset, choosing to quit on purpose so that you can grow in a different way. Choose thoughtfully, let it go. What do you think? You got it? I think you can do it. Maybe we all have New Year's resolutions to quit something. That sounds fun. Okay, let's do it. Thank you for listening to the Madam Athlete Podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's career coaching deep dive all about quitting. One of the things I'm currently considering quitting that I maybe should have even said in the episode is social media, which is like, what? Because I have a business, a podcast. I mean, how absolutely out of my mind must I be to consider quitting social media? But you've been here, right? I mean, maybe you're new, and if so, hi, hello, thank you for being here. But if you've been around, I think I've mentioned a few billion times how much I don't like social media. So right now I'm in a test quitting phase. Like, I don't even know if that's a thing. I just made it up. But I'm still announcing episodes and quotes from episodes twice a week on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, but that's it. I want you to have a way to hear about a new episode coming out without losing my mind trying to be good at social, with whatever that means. So I'm test quitting it. I'm doing a minimum amount I decided on in advance. I'm giving myself a time limit to evaluate how it goes. And I'm using that to consider what parameters for quitting social I want to set for myself. So I hope you enjoy this fun experiment alongside me. And I hope you still find the podcast. I hope you still listen. I hope you still spread the word. And I also hope you've had a great New Year's and an excellent start to your 2023. And as always, I am so glad you are here. Thank you, and I appreciate you.